morning is in Ephesians chapter 6. And I know Patsy has ministered this so many times to children, but there's more to it here. We're going to look at this, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 through, 4. It says here, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother." This is important. "Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise." This is a commandment with promise. There's something God promises. "That it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on this earth." Well, I mean, now coming from my mother, when I was a child, if I'd heard knew that scripture, if my mother would have used that scripture, she probably would have used it on me. Either honor me, obey me, so you can live long. If not, the consequences are, I'm going to kill you. I don't think she ever threatened to kill him, but she did do more than threaten. My mother, as like a lot of your mothers, when you were young, would probably be in jail today for child abuse. Amen? And ministers have to be so careful today what they, you know, just preaching the Bible, teaching what the Bible says about correcting your children. Amen. I mean, that's child abuse. Well, that's why this world's in the situation it's in today. Amen. But I'm not preaching on that this morning. I've just happened to read this scripture, and we'll just jump on to the next part here. We'll go to verse 4. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord.
Amen.
See, it's never too late. It's never too late. You know, I still can call my children on the phone and tell them I love them. I can still tell them I'm praying for them. And I can, you know, when they ask me questions, I can still try to give them some guidance. You know, there's some things you look for in a father. And a father to me as a child, I looked at my father as the father image as somebody that protects me. You know, as a child now, you know you're vulnerable. There's things out there in the world you don't know and don't understand. There's bigger people. There's meaner people. But you know your dad is your protector. And so we know, we sing songs a while ago about what God is. He's a protector.
Amen.
He's a provider. Now, you think of your father as a provider, somebody that's making sure there's food on the table, making sure I have a place to sleep at night, making sure I have a bed to lay in. Amen? I know sometimes that's a struggle and hard for some people to go through those things, but that's what we look into a father as, somebody that's a protector, somebody that is a provider for me, somebody that's a leader, a guide, an example for me. That's what you look at in a natural father. And that's not, you also look at that toward God when you find God as your father. But also a person that supports you. Somebody that encourages you. You know, my dad, I've got some things wrote down here. My dad moved on to heaven in 2003. He was 76 years old. And I remember... When we were visiting him at the VA hospital, I don't know what town community is that in, the VA hospital. Is that Decatur, DeKalb, somewhere?
Yeah, Decatur.
Somewhere in that area.
Yeah, Decatur.
And so anyway, we went over and visited him. My granddaughter, Ansley, which is the youngest, my granddaughter's there. She's on the bottom here. And probably this might have been a little bit before on her. But anyway, she went to the hospital and saw my dad for the first time. And it was 2 days before he passed away, before he moved on to heaven. He made his final move. And so she met him one time, and that's it. She doesn't know, you know, at 2 years old, she doesn't know what death is, right? She didn't know what was going on. She just saw, she met him in a hospital. Well, the day he died, you know, when we were at the hospital, the day he died, he left this earth, right? Well, on his way, he passed by my daughter's house. You know, young children, you know, they've been in the womb for quite a while, and they're into a spiritual life more than adults. We're in this flesh world, been living here for a long time. But make this, as Patsy said, long story short. She was in the house in the kitchen area, breakfast area, and they had these windows there. And she was waving out the window. Now, she didn't know my dad had died. She didn't know he left. She just recognized, this is the man, this is Paul that I met a couple days ago. And he was out flying out there and waving at her. And when my daughter saw her waving out the window, she says, what are you waving at? She says, Paul.
Incredible.
How many knows my daughter had some major chill bumps?
Yeah. Yeah.
Whew.
Sure.
You know.
Wow.
That's awesome to have that story, that testimony.
Amen.
In your family that my granddaughter look out and saw him. He said bye to her. He probably was saying bye to all of us, but yeah. we couldn't see there, you know. He probably saying, wake up, you know, look in the spiritual realm here.
Yeah.
But anyway, my dad moved on, and you know, my dad to me spent a lot of time with me. I got to know my dad. That's so important to know your father. Because we're gonna talk about Father God here in just a minute.
Amen.
We're going to honor our earthly fathers. Think about some things this morning, you know, how they imported some things in your life and how you've imported some things in your children's life, in other people's life. But, you know, he spent time with me. As far as I can remember, he taught me early things that he thought was important, like fishing and hunting. You know, he taught these things to me early in life. I say early, I mean, as far back as I can remember, I was out fishing with my dad. And people would say, how long have you been fishing? And y'all have heard me say this before, some of you may have. But I'd say, you know, probably at least 68 years. What do you mean? You've been fishing 68 years? Yeah, my mother said that I went out with them fishing before I was born. So I guess I've been out there fishing for a long time. You know, I got a little experience.
Yeah.
I don't remember much back then, you know.
Yeah.
But they did. He did bring me and taught me a lot of things. He supported me. He encouraged me. He was there at every baseball game, every basketball game, every track and field event, every football game. I mean, every one of them, I know my dad is there. I know he is with me. It's so important, dads, for your children to know that you're with them.
Amen.
When you're raising them up.
Amen.
They can say, well, I know daddy's here. I'm here. He's here. He was there. Even for practices, my dad was, a lot of the practices, he was there too. So, I mean, he was there with me. This is something that I can remember in my life that my dad was always there. He's planting seeds in my life. I mean, I remember early in the morning him waking me up saying, and it's dark, you know. I mean, as children, you didn't like to get up early in the morning, not at 4 o'clock in the morning in the dark. He's sort of shaking, come on, son. And I just go, where are we going, you know? And he just said, come on, get in the car, we go. We've gone fishing, gone hunting or something like this. So that can never be taken out of my life.
Amen.
Of that. You know, and that's something that this world today, or I should say America today, is missing out on. That's something lacking today. That's why we have so many problems in this world right now, because there's so many attacks against our children, because there wasn't that godly character, that image in their life. Now, I'm not saying that my dad was a Christian at the time, but my dad had morals. He taught me morals. He taught me right and wrong. And he'd let me know if it was wrong.
Yeah.
Hello?
That's right.
I'd have a meeting with him in the back room. I hated those meetings. I mean, I'm not talking about the spanking part. I hated the lectures. I'd say, go ahead and whip me and get it over with, man. Take the belt out and let's do this thing. No, I didn't like that either. But the lecture parts, you know, where you had to feel guilty. How many knows it's not fun feeling guilty? You old dirty thing, you know. But anyway, he taught me right and wrong. He taught me, you know, how to say things and how not to say things, how to respect other people, how to treat other people, not to, you know, not to steal, not to lie. We couldn't even say the word lie in my house. It had to be fib. Lie was a bad word, you know. So he said, well, he wasn't even Christian. No, they were raised in church. But through prayer, Patsy and I were saved, born again first in our family. And we led the rest of our family toward the Lord, amen. Witnessing to them, witnessing to them to get them all born again.
Hallelujah.
All of them, you know, every one of them. So every one of them is saved today, thank God. But it's just being around them. But anyway, something I heard John Hagee say, he said, the situation we're in today is so dreadful. He said 3 out of 5 children today do not live in the same home with their natural father. Wow. 3 out of 5.
Wow.
What is that, 60%? I mean, 3 out of 5. The family institution is under attack. Hollywood has them in front of a TV for over 38 hours a week. What are they planting in them? They're importing something in them. He also said, he talks about not only, you know, there's so many, I mean, you can't turn the TV on and see a commercial without seeing, you know, bad pornography. I mean, I would be embarrassed today to sit and watch a TV and have a commercial come, not just the movies you watch, but a commercial come on in front of my children. I don't care if they're 40 years old, you know? I would still be embarrassed. That's how bad it's got. We've just allowed them to do these things. He talked about there's a video game come out, and some of you in here probably have played it, no condemnation, but you need to know some things, understand some things, where it comes from. There was one called Grand Theft Auto. Give me a hint. You don't have to give me a hint that you did play the game. Just tell me you've heard of it. Anybody ever heard of the game? Yes. Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah,
it's been advertised on TV for years now. He said the Grand Theft Auto has sold, now remember now, this is in the homes of people today, 185 million copies sold by the end of 2014.
Wow.
185 million homes had this game in it. What does Grand Theft Auto, what is the theme of Grand Theft Auto?
Stealing cars.
You say, well, it sounds like stealing autos and running away from cops, right?
Yeah.
Well, it is. Stealing, which is not good. Running from the cops, right?
Yeah.
You know also in that game is killing cops. And anybody else that gets in the way, right? Anything or anybody, just run over, run, you know, don't matter about anything, and kill the cops or whatever and get in the way, stealing this. And this is a game that's put in 185 million. Something's wrong for people not to have their eyes open to see what direction this world's going in and why. Hollywood is going to face some major judgment. Not because of me, I said it. They are definitely opening themselves up for the destroyer. So this game is all about killing, stealing, and destroying.
Wow.
Who is the author of that?
Satan.
I didn't have to say it. Hollywood should know better. And then they wonder, I wonder why today that there's more policemen killed today, that there's a record number of policemen being killed today than ever before in history. I wonder why. Could Hollywood help a little bit? Now, we have some important things that parents need to do, but today we're not here to condemn anybody, but just recognize. And we're praying for other people to recognize these things, you know? Why? How could this happen? Parents get too busy.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I just want to make sure they have everything they need. I want to make sure they get a Corvette out there in the driveway for them when they turn 17. Wouldn't you wish that's the way it was, right? With some people, they are that way. They spoil their kids and give them these things. They're out there and they're on the highway doing 200 miles an hour and they get killed. And they say, you know, wish that wouldn't happen. You know? There's so many things like that happen today. You know? Parents get too busy. They would say, well, I'm being a provider. You know, and kids don't have a father. But guess what? They need a father. They need an image of a father. And where are they going to find it if they can't find it at home? Sure, I'd hope they'd go play football or baseball or basketball, have a coach somewhere, or go to church and have somebody to mentor them, to help them, right? Amen. But if they don't, they're going to have another kid mentor them. And if that kid doesn't have a father image in his life, how is he going to mentor them? So it's kids raising kids. So today we have a lot of kids raising kids. And that's why you have so many gangs today. Because they look up to somebody to be their mentor. Yeah. It doesn't matter if it's good, bad, evil, or whatever. They've got to have that. There's something missing. And this is what God will be to us. That's what God wants to be to us. He wants us to know that he'll be our Father. You know, they were singing the song, and it's in the book of Psalms, and it says that he will be a father to the fatherless. So none of us have an excuse. Amen. We accept Jesus as Lord of our life. We have the Father to us to raise us in the right direction. But I like this little story, and then I'm going to get back into the word here. It's about little Johnny. I don't know if you remember little Johnny. Little Johnny comes in. He knows his father is busy. His father never seems to have time for him. And his father's at the desk or whatever, and he walks. He comes in the door. He's got his baseball cap on. He's got his glove in one hand, got a baseball in that hand, and a bat in the other hand on his shoulder. He walks in the door. It says, Dad. His dad looks up and says, Dad, play me or trade me. You know, that's what they do in baseball. If they don't play, you're going to be traded pretty soon.
Yeah.
He just said, play me or trade me. I need to be somewhere that somebody can take care of me. Somebody can play ball with me. Somebody can spend some time with me.
Yeah.
Somebody can show me, a father's love. So that's sad, but it's serious. Everybody needs a mentor. The things that I said earlier that you know, we look for in a dad is a provider, a protector, a leader, an example, a supporter, an encourager. Everyone still needs that today. Look here in the book of John, chapter 1. We're going to go through some scriptures kind of quickly here. In John chapter 1, we'll start off with verse 10. Talking about Jesus. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. This is so important now. Later on in the sermon, you'll catch this. But the world knew him not. Next verse. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Next verse. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name.
Amen.
He gave them the power to become the sons of God. Okay, let's look at the next scripture here, which is what, Romans 8:14? For as many that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Everybody say sons of God.
Sons of God.
You know, I used to say this, that, you know, to the women in the church, and you hear me saying sons, and you think, well, he's not talking about me today. You say sons of God. We say, you know, well, I don't want to be called son. I'm a woman. Well, you know what? I'm a man, and I don't like to be called a bride, but I want to be a bride.
Yeah.
Bride of Christ, right? He's coming back for his bride. I'm not going to be here.
Amen.
But anyway, but I'll straighten all that out in just a minute. Next one. What's my next one here? 1 John 3. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called. We should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. The world knew him not. Next verse. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. The next verse. That's it, verse 2. I want you to see something, though, where it says sons of God. I looked this up in my concordance, and there's two different words for the word sons, but both Greek words mean son or child. So everybody's included. Hello? You are called a child of God. How many knows that's scriptural?
Amen. Yes.
We're his children. He's our father. He's our father. So we look to him to be all the things that we know a father should be. So we're okay on that, that he is our father. I say this right here.
I am
a child of my father God.
Child of my father God.
Say it again. I am
child of my father God.
I am a child of my father God. I am a child of my Father God. So I always have my Father with me. He said he'll never leave me.
Amen.
He'll never forsake me. I always have a Father.
Amen.
Amen? Amen? My natural Father has left and went on to heaven. But I still have my Father God. He's never going to leave me. I'm a part of his family. My Father, my natural Father, is waiting for me in heaven. You know? He just needs to be patient. I'm not through yet, right?
Amen.
Let's look at the next scripture here in John 14, 6. We're going to verse 12. Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto me except by the Father, right? Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me.
Amen.
By me. He can't come to the Father but through him. Next verse. And if we had known, and if you had known me, Jesus is saying something. Now, this is supposed to be us, right?
Yes.
Jesus, if you had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth, you know him and have seen him.
Yes.
Now, look, next verse. Philip said unto him, Lord, show us the Father. You don't want to say, duh, you know, show us the Father. What did he just tell him? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And he turns around, where was you at when I said?
Yeah.
Come on. I mean, Philip, did you just drop your body off here? Get back together here, man. Punch the refresh button. Come on. Wake up, Philip. Show us the Father, and it'll satisfy us. Next verse. Jesus said unto him, he's very patient. Jesus said unto him, have I been so long time with you, Philip? And King James really tough sometimes. And yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. And how do you say then, show me the Father? Next verse. Believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I speak unto you, to speak not of myself, but the works that I speak, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he's doing the works. He's giving me what to do. He's showing me what to do. He's living inside of me. Verse 11. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or else believe me for the very work's sake. In other words, you know, you see the life I'm living. They are evidence and proof that the Father is in me. It's the same with us.
That's right.
The works that we do is evidence that the Father is in you. How many knows the Father is not going to live in, doesn't want to live in you just to sleep all the time?
Amen.
And watch Howdy Doody. Y'all don't even know what Howdy Doody is. Let me see if you have another one. Sorry to say Gunsmoke, but nobody knows what that is either, you know?
Some of us do.
Very few. Russ, you heard of those things, right? Okay. Or say, oh, what? Gilligan's Islands. Y'all seen the reruns on that, I'm sure, right? Or I Love Lucy or whatever. But anyway, you know, it's just like I said about the Holy Spirit. He's not living in you to just go down the scenic highway. He wants to be doing something. You're his hands. You're his feet. God wants to work through you. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or else just believe me because you see the works. So the works that I do are the same works of the Father. Jesus was the perfect will of God on this earth. What you've seen him do was the perfect will of God. You know, I mean, knows that he didn't do things out of the will of God. You would say, oh, I wonder what God's will is about this. What did Jesus do? That's what the Father would do. Amen? That's what he's saying. Now, verse 12 goes along with this. He says, verily, verily, this is what Jesus says. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works I do, he shall do also. And greater works than these shall he do. Right? And greater works. You know, when I just say this, a lot of times people are trying to imagine, how can I do greater works than Jesus? I mean, Jesus raised the dead. I ain't raised the dead lately. I'm still trying. Some of them still, no, I'm kidding. Nobody here is the dead, right? Wake up the dead, right? I did that to a lady one time in church. And I said, would you wake up Bob? You know, Bob, Paul. And his wife says, why should I wake him up? You're the one who put him to sleep. Oh, well, guess she had a point there. I needed some fresh anointing. Yeah. But anyway, that wasn't in my notes here. Like Father, like Son. All right? Why? He knew his Father. See? He knew his Father. That's so important to understand. He knew his Father. You've got to know your Father. Amen. You know? One more scripture here before I jump on something here. John 8, verse 19. Jesus says, if you had known me, Jesus said that if you had known, if Jesus said unto them, where is thy Father? Then they said unto him, where is thy Father? Not the part I need glasses, I need to get the right angle. Jesus answered and said, you neither know me, nor you know my Father. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also. That's the way it should be in each one of us' life today. People will know the Father through you.
That's right.
And I'm not just talking about just men in here.
Right.
Hello?
Amen. That's right. Amen.
I'm not trying not to look at anybody, you know, but he's talking about you. You're his child, since we said we're going on beyond sons here, right? The sons of God to children. They will know the Father through you. Amen? And it's going to be through the works you do and the life that you live, the encouragement that you give to people, the support you give to people, to help them when they have needs. You may help them provide something for them. You know, everything, a protector. You may be there to protect them in some areas. You may be there to protect them from making a bad decision. You say, well, they may say, well, that's just your opinion. Then that's okay. You did your part.
Right.
Hello? Oh, boy, I just thought of something. I think I have time. That one? Just thought of this right here, Patsy. There's a guy in our church named Larry. He did come over here from Louisiana and worked in church here with us for a while, too. But anyway, one day he had called me about something. Now, remember, he's just a country boy from Zawali, Louisiana. Now, everybody knows Zawali was in Louisiana, right? Y'all knew that. Y'all thought it was in Africa, but no, it's in Louisiana. It's 10 miles north of Manny, where I was pastoring. And he lived in a trailer out there on the lake. And he says, he called me up on the phone, and he asked me, I can't even remember what it was exactly he asked me about, but he asked me my opinion. And Paul, if you do that, you're probably going to get it. And it might probably not, it may not be what you want to hear. A lot of times people just ask you questions. They want you to say what they want you to say. I'm sorry. No, I'm not sorry. I'm not going to apologize. I'm going to tell you what the Bible says. And sometimes it's kind of straight and kind of hard and, you know, like royal, you know. But I didn't hear nobody laugh out loud. No, good. But anyway, I told him something. You know, something about his kids or something. He asked me something. So anyway, but he got through with the conversation, then he went to hang up. And somehow or another, he forgot to punch the button. And I was in, you know, back then you had to make sure the other person got off. You punch the button to kill it, and it won't kill it, you know. And I was in, Larry. And he didn't hear me. He had thought he hung it up or whatever. But he walked, he was in the kitchen. I hear him, so his wife's name is Pebbles. She was a drummer. Anyway, he told Pebbles, he said, "Well, I don't think Pastor Brian should have said that. I think, you know, he was being a little hard." And he just kind of whined. I'm not going to say everything he said, but it was kind of things like that, you know. Well, next Sunday, I do joke with people sometimes, y'all. Anyway, next Sunday, he come in, and just before service starts, I said, "Larry," I said, "Lord kind of impressed on my heart. I got a kind of a word from the Lord that you were not happy about the things I said to you the other day." Yeah. And you kind of come against the things I said. His eyes were like, "Oh, the Lord told him," you know. His eyes got real big, you know. And I said, "Larry, I'm just kidding. You left the phone on the hook, man." So at first he's like, "Whoa, we got a word from God here. I'm fixing to get it," you know. So, but I did, I promise you, I did admit to him it wasn't a spiritual thing. But for a while, but here's my point. We, you know, we need to know the Father. We can't be like a father we don't know. See, and how do we know him? Through his word, through coming to church, hearing the word, hearing sermons, learning about God, learning about, you know, he's a good God, he's a loving God, he's a caring God, you know, he's wants to protect us. And we see all through the scriptures, you know, how important it is to know God. You ever heard of a guy named Mike Barber? You've heard Mike Barber? He's got a great prison ministry. And I watched him on TV. And one day I was watching him on TV, and he was in the in a prison area where they had, what do they call it? The people on death row. Over 200 guys in a meeting there on death row. I mean, they're looking for some kind of hope. And I was surprised how many guys in that meeting were raising their hands and praising God. And they're on death row. I mean, they're like, "This is, you know, we believe there is a God because there's not much else. We've made a mistake in life." But anyway, when I see him ministering to these people, and I see at least 50 of them come up to accept the Lord. I mean, you can't help but tears falling out of your eyes. You know, you can't really see the show because you're seeing here's 50 guys that just got free behind bars.
Yeah.
They're still free. Right. Nothing else matters anymore. You know, when I accepted the Lord, it didn't matter what problems I had or what's going on in my life. It didn't matter anymore. Those things are so dim, so light. No, there's no big thing when you know that you've got a protector. When you got somebody who wants to lead you and guide you and help you. I mean, it's great to see people get free.
Amen.
And that was, but see, these guys, this is what he learned. He said this himself, that the statistics show that the number one reason that people end up in jail is because they have no father relationship, no good relationship with a father, or a father that's qualified to be called a father with them. That's a major problem. But, you know, when they accept Jesus, and Patsy reminded me of this, but when they accept Jesus, everybody hear me? But when they accept Jesus, they have a father.
Amen.
They have a father.
Amen.
So you're not, he's father to the fatherless.
Right.
Amen. But when you have Jesus, you have a father. I know sometimes when Somebody loses a family member and they move on to heaven or whatever, and they say, well, you know, I'm missing my spouse, or I'm missing my dad, or I'm missing my mother, you know, but he says he's father to the fatherless.
That's right.
He's there with you. Amen?
Amen.
He's there to be your father, to love you, to show you his grace, his mercy, his peace, his comfort. He is a comforter, the provider, protector, the healer, the leader, the guide. He'll never leave you. He'll always be there. See, I knew my dad was always there to encourage me, always there in the natural. But this is more, this is the Father God. Hello, the creator.
Amen.
Of all heaven and earth and everything there is. Every good thing comes down from the Father of lights.
Amen.
So just knowing this, knowing him. So we need to know him. Wednesday night I taught on a sermon on knowing God, or actually seeking God, using the Hebrew word balkash, you know, and then I never got to the Greek word, but it all means the same thing. It's seeking God with all your heart, your soul, and strength. It's coveting after, it's inquiring after, it's seeking him with everything. As a way of your profession, a way of life, we're supposed to seek him. We become Christians. The first thing you do, you want to know God. You want to know your Lord. Hello? How can he be your Lord if you don't know him? And that's what he wants us to do, is to seek him, to know him. And when we know him, we can say like Jesus said, if you've known me, you've known the Father God.
Amen.
You've known the character of the Father God, a godly character. He wants you to know him, to have a godly relationship with him. Amen?
Amen.
He wants you to know that you can have peace, can have comfort, can know that you have somebody to protect you, that no weapon formed against you is going to prosper, that everything comes against you, God's going to take care of it.
Amen.
If you trust in him, don't try to do it yourself. Trust in him. If you want to seek wisdom about some things, he says, pray, ask him, he'll give you wisdom.
Amen.
All that you need. Because
yep.
See, as many times we need wisdom. How do we talk to this person? How do we minister to this person? Holy Spirit, just use me to minister to this person. This person is hurting. This morning, this person that's remembering things, that's seeing that, you know, I never had a godly father. I never had a father image that was there to support me. He kind of lived in his own life or his own self. He didn't spend time with me. He didn't do some things that Brother Brian was saying here this morning. I didn't have that. But you know, today, when you have Jesus, when you accept Jesus, you have the Father God.
Amen.
You have him to be there for you.
Yes.
Hmm. The world needs to see and to know the Father God. How will they know? Unless we know our Father. People that don't know are going to be directed and led by the wrong spirit. But we can be led by the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Those who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God, are the children of God.
Amen.
God wants to lead you and guide you. He wants to protect you, to comfort you. You know, if you didn't know your father, and you didn't have a father with a great image today, but you know that there was somebody that was your father today, I'm just saying this right here. You need to forgive that father.
Right.
You need to forgive him for the things he didn't do.
Amen.
You've got to forgive him to go on.
Amen.
He wasn't there for me. He didn't do those things. I miss having a father. Today, you don't have to miss one any longer.
Amen.
Amen. God is waiting on you this morning.
Amen.
He's waiting on you right now. Say, I have a new father.
I have a new father.
That loves me.
Loves me.
And cares for me.
Cares for
he
me.
Wants the best for me.
He wants the best for me.
His plans for me,
are for
good,
and
not evil. See, that's Jeremiah 29:11, right?
Amen.
Hmm. Everybody just bow your heads just a minute here. I mean, I want us to be able to speak to God this morning a little bit and tell him that you want his help this morning to be able to forgive maybe your father and also ask Lord to forgive you and also to forgive yourself. You say, well, you know, I know you're talking about fathers this morning. Yes, but I'm also talking about you. I don't care if you're male or female. I'm still talking about you because you have to be an image to other people, whether it's children. When we look at children, we should look at them as a garden. They're a garden. There's something needs to be planted in the garden. We can plant something in their life, an image of God the Father in their life, that they will turn to God for help. They will look for God. See, you know, instead of just saying, well, my daddy can't do this and my mama can't do this, but what can God do? How many knows all things are possible?
Amen.
All things are possible with God. Now, don't just sit here with a blank space right now. I want you to be talking to God right now. God wants is calling you to speak to him. He's listening. He can hear every one of you this morning. He's listening to you right now. What are you saying to him? And while your heads are bowed, if there's anybody here today that don't know Jesus, don't know the Father God, you've never met him, you've just heard about him, and you want to know his love, you want to know his grace, you want to know his mercy today, he's here ready for you right now. He says, if you come before him and you confess your sins before him, he's faithful to forgive you, faithful to cleanse you from all the things you've done wrong and to give you a new life. You become a new creation in Christ.